translation. Vidura said, O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu the Lord wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge with which you have been enlightened by the Lord Himself. So Vidura says to Uddhava, the servants of Lord Vishnu walk over the planet with one motivation or interest. They want to serve others. And then he begs Uddhava, please, since you are already desiring to serve others, please serve my spiritual life by telling me what the Lord told you. Purport. The servants of the Lord are actually the servants of society. They have no interest in human society other than to enlighten it in transcendental knowledge. They are interested in imparting knowledge of the relationship of the living being with the Supreme Lord, the activities in that transcendental relationship, and the ultimate goal of human life. Who of you knows how the Sanskrit terms for these three points in which the servants of the Lord try to enlighten us? Sambandha, Abhideyam, Prayojana. Oh, yes. That is the real knowledge which can help society achieve the real aim of human welfare. Knowledge in the matter of the bodily necessities of eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, transformed into various branches of advancement of knowledge, is all temporary. A living being is not the material body, but an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Being. And thus revival of his self-knowledge is essential. Without this knowledge, the human life is baffled. The servants of the Lord, Vishnu, are entrusted with this responsible work, and so they wander over the earth and to all other planets in the universe. Hare Krishna. Thus the knowledge which was received by Uddhava directly from the Lord deserves to be distributed in human society, especially to persons like Vidura, who are highly advanced in the devotional service of the Lord. Real transcendental knowledge descends in the disciplic succession from the Lord to Uddhava, from Uddhava to Vidura, and so on. Such supreme transcendental knowledge is not possible to achieve by the process of imperfect speculation as performed by the so-called learned mundane wranglers. Wranglers are people who quarrel. Vidura was anxious to know from Uddhava that confidential knowledge known as Paramastitim, in which the Lord is known by his transcendental pastimes. Although Vidura was older than Uddhava, he was anxious to become a servant of Uddhava in the transcendental relationship. This formula of transcendental disciplic succession is taught by Lord Chaitanya also. Lord Chaitanya advises that one receive transcendental knowledge from anyone, whether he is a brahmana or a shudra, a householder or a sannyasi, provided that person is factually conversant. Conversant means knowledgeable with the science of Krishna. A person who knows the science of Krishna is factually a bona fide spiritual master. Hare Krishna. And the scene is repeating itself in the Bhagavatam again and again. The scene repeats itself also in the life of devotees who look for spiritual knowledge. It's a lovely scene where a devotee comes to someone who's spiritually superior and requests him to tell him something about the transcendental Lord, the Lord who is very difficult to perceive through the, how do you say, through one's own means of acquiring knowledge. Our own means of acquiring knowledge are twofold, sensual knowledge and knowledge which we receive by the process of anuman, that is inference, thinking, our thoughts. But Krishna is described to be adokshaya. He's beyond the range of perception, either through the senses or the mind of the conditioned souls. He's far, far beyond this. In Munich, we gave an example of how the spiritual reality is beyond the sensual and mental perception of a living entity. There was a blind man. The blind man wanted to know what is milk. But as we will see from his story, neither could his senses tell him what is milk, he couldn't see, nor could his mind tell him what is milk. A man came to him and said, "Milk tastes so good." The blind man said, "Can you show me milk?" The man said, "No, you are blind." "Well, can you show me milk in another way?" said the blind man. Can you make me understand what is milk by describing it to me?" So the man, the seeing man, said, "I shall try." And he gave him an idea. "The milk, well, it looks white." "But what is white?" said the blind man. "Well, white is, like the feathers of the crane." You know crane? What is crane? Kranich in German. Yes, jail, a jail. But how does a jail look? So the man who could see and who wanted to explain to the blind man said, well, he touched my hand and he made this sign, you know. So the blind man began to, when he came to this part, he said, "I will never drink milk. Milk will get stuck in my throat." This is an example of how a blind man cannot understand through his senses and also not through his mind by the process of anuman. So just in the same way, it's very difficult for us to either see Krishna or to speculate about him, to do what is called anuman. But there is a way which is especially relevant for devotees, that is to see Krishna through the eyes of those who have seen. As you know, there is in seeing something which is called pratyaksha, direct perception. But in the knowledge of how you can make an experience, there's also a perception done by paroksha. This is not always known so much amongst devotees. Paroksha is when a person who has seen something gives you a report. For instance, I do still remember, I think Moksha Rupi Prabhu was there at that time, he still had long hair, when we gave a program in Ljubljana during the wartime. Soldiers were all over, and we had this program. Were you in this program, Moksha Rupi? You had to stay in the temple, but we went to a hall, and there was really war happening. And the glasses of the big windows were destroyed, and the big windows came down. Who was there in this program? Gonya Bihari? No. You were too young at that time, maybe. Anandin? You were not there. But Mani Manjari is in all programs. No, in that program you were not. The men I know that they were not, no one but them. Marjana Lila, you know? All the young devotees. So I could tell you now exactly what happens, and then you would know. But because it's not so important, I will not tell you about the war. But someone who was there, who saw, who experienced, can tell you. And this is called paroksha, the realization through the eyes and the experience of others. Can you now understand that why we always stress in our theology or process of getting knowledge the importance of devotees and of pure devotees? Because with our eyes and senses we will not be able to realize God. But we can understand something through the eyes and the experience of others. Yes? Hare Krishna. I remember this very much in relationship to Srila Prabhupada training his disciples to paint Krishna. Prabhupada would inspect all paintings, and he would say that this is not how Krishna looks. You must paint him like this. I remember there was one time where a devotee brought her painting to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at the painting and thought, no. Then the devotee was very sad. Then Prabhupada said, well, if you change this and this, then this picture can show Krishna when he had a headache. Usually Krishna is very happy and full of bliss, but there was one time when he was in the leela of showing that he had a headache. This can be used for this illustration, but otherwise it is not suitable. So Srila Prabhupada would guide his artists, because he had seen. I remember once that Prabhupada was asked, does the super soul in the heart always stand? You know, the devotee was thinking, what will happen with his veins if he always stands? You know, this is very very bad for the vein circulation. Prabhupada said, one moment, please. And he went inside and then said, no, just now he's resting. So Krishna, yes, this is seen through the eyes of others. And there is a verse from the Bhagavatam which speaks about this. Satang prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkana rashayana kata Tachyoshanarashvapavagavatmani Shadharatiya bhaktiyanukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. And you are there in the association of devotees. Discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord is satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction to Krishna becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service can begin. So this seeing through the eyes of others is really our way to begin to see Krishna. We hear and discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Lord. Our ear and heart become satisfied, and then we develop the three steps of bhakti. One is sadhan bhakti, then comes bhava bhakti, bhakti in ecstasy, and finally prema bhakti, love bhakti in pure love of Krishna. This is all born in the association of devotees. It is described that at the beginning of Kali Yuga, Bhakti Devi roamed around the world. Bhakti was very, very sad because her two sons were in the process of dying. Who knows what are the two sons of Bhakti? Jnana and Vairagya, that is knowledge and detachment from this world. In the beginning of Kali Yuga, these two qualities could not be found. And I believe it was Narada Muni who saw Bhakti, who had gone with his two dying sons to Vrindavan, because that was the only shelter for her, the holy dham. And she stayed there while Jnana and Vairagya were slowly dying at the onset of Kali Yuga. And Bhakti Devi said, where can I stay? And where can my sons become healthy and strong again? And Narada Muni directed Bhakti Devi to bear the Srimad Bhagavatam. The beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is discussed. So that is why it is said, when you are in a Bhagavatam discussion, when you listen to the Bhagavatam, then your ears and heart become satisfied. Why? What satisfies the heart? A bhakti satisfies the heart when there is a feeling of devotion. Don't you know? Do you agree with me? When there is feeling of devotion in our heart, then we feel satisfied. When we don't feel devotion in our heart and no rubhav, no love for Krishna, then we feel unsatisfied. So, as we discuss the Bhagavatam each morning, then Bhakti Devi is coming in our association. And when we leave the Bhagavatam class, we have made contact with Bhakti Devi, and if we really listen, and the quality of the speaker is there, he has a first-class quality, then also this listening will be therapeutic listening. Do you know what is therapeutic listening? It means you are healed. A therapeutic session is you are healed afterwards. I remember here in Ljubljana is one man, and once we were going there with Moksha Rupi, and he was doing therapy. Bali Sadacha knows him also. Who is this man who goes like Kiri? What was his name? This man who treated us? Mathura Kishori, you also know, this some Muslim man. Yeah. Mustafa, maybe. Mustafa, Mustafa. No, that's or Ahmed. Well, nice man, very nice man. Very spiritually minded also. No? And we went here and it was very painful. I thought I would sink into the floor.
Enough, enough.
You go into the floor almost and hide into the floor. But afterwards you feel good. So in the much the same way, listening to the Bhagavatam is therapeutic listenings. Afterwards you can have knowledge about Krishna and also you have detachment from the world. You are no longer so interested and attracted by your desires. Bhakti comes, bhakti anukramishyati, it says, step by step she comes. She comes carefully, not all at once. And together with bhakti, vairagya and vidya appear. If there is a nice Bhagavatam class and we feel enriched in bhakti and in knowledge and renunciation. Or when we read the Bhagavatam with Srila Prabhupada's purports, have you felt sometimes how relieved the heart is? When you read sufficiently, maybe half an hour, what is going on? Positive energy. Feel this positive energy. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. What has happened? Bhakti has come into your heart and jnana and vairagya have also followed bhakti, and when you then go into your life and into your world, you feel like this. And this is expressed also in the Bhagavatam itself, where bhakti is described as bringing Dhamma Pro Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga. No, oh Krishna, I'm sorry, my brain is not working very well, but there is a verse, very famous verse, I should know it, which says that by this hearing, knowledge and detachment does arrive in our heart. It's in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. This brings us to a very, very important, how would you say, principle of the practice of sadhana. And I feel because you are all devotees who practice sadhana, it's a morning class, and my audience today is not like yesterday where maybe many new people are there. I want to open your eyes and to this fact and request you to look at this. See, sadhana or spiritual practice, which is done by a devotee, will invite bhakti into the heart. Our spiritual advancement doesn't happen so much by our own doing, but it happens by, now let us use the word, revelation from above, from Krishna or the Supreme or this High Personality. Some revelation is given into our heart. Something brought into our lives from above. The Vedas tell us of a prisoner who was kept underneath the earth so long that he forgot what is the quality of light. He became a night-seeing man. Then it was known, someone after 20 years, there is a prisoner of war underneath the earth. We have to save him. So some kind people took a torch. How do we say torch? Bhakya. Bhakya. Yes, yeah. My idea is that you know the word, so you know it. Yes. And he came with this instrument, this torch, into this dungeon. Dungeon is a prison which is under the earth. And as he was bringing down the torch and the light, the prisoner saw more and more. It was becoming brighter, brighter, brighter. Then he came to the prison door, iron prison door. Then the light came underneath and from the sides. And then the door was forcibly broken open, and the torch came. This is a little bit how our bhakti functions also. More and more and more, we become aware of the light which comes from above through the process of revelation. Krishna reveals himself. This is expressed very deeply, this revelation factor, in the Svetashvatara Upanishad. Yasya deva para bhaktiya, yasya deva para bhaktiya, yata deva tata guru, yata deva tata guru, tasyaite katita hyata, tasyaite katita hyata, rakashante mahatmana, rakashante mahatmana. Only unto those devotees who serve Guru and Krishna with implicit faith, means faith which is really inside the heart, is the import, that is the meaning of the Vedas, fully revealed. Once again, only unto those devotees who serve Guru and Krishna with implicit faith is the meaning of the Vedas fully revealed. Yes. Prakashante means, prakash means the effulgence of light, like in our example of the torch, which brings light into the darkness of the prison. It's always, spiritual life has to always be a process of revelation, something which happens to us, not something which we ourselves make possible and force or bring about. Especially when you serve your spiritual master, will Krishna become inspired or moved to reveal himself. There was this very, very nice servant, this Brahmana. He's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, who lived in Rangachetra. Who visited Rangachetra? Please raise your hand. Moksha Rupi, no? Mathura Kishori was there. Balisa, Ranganath, you said? Yes, Ranganath. Rangachetra is the holy place, and Lord Ranganath is the deity in this beautiful temple. Mani Manjari was as well there. So it's a big, big temple. You can get lost in the temple, it's so big. It's a very, very beautiful temple. There's one place from which Lakshmi sees her Lord, Ranganath. Every morning an elephant comes. I was thinking of this when I saw the beautiful elephant decoration today on the altar. And he brings water for the bath of the Lord on the head. And then, Hare Krishna, then he's not yet there. He's just coming, bringing the water. But there is a Veena player. To wake up the Lord. But the Lord is a little sleepy. He gets so much prasadam. he's a little tired. So the veena cannot wake him up. He needs a stronger alarm clock. And the stronger alarm clock comes when this huge elephant comes. You know, you are there waiting that something is happening behind the curtain, but the Lord is sleeping and the veena is not loud enough to wake him up. So then all of a sudden this, do you remember, this sloan comes. Were you there when the sloan came? Ah, you must be there when the sloan comes. He came, and you feel like, ah. You hope that he doesn't come too close to you. And then they do the drumming, and they make the music, and then the sloan comes right amongst all the devotees. You just, and the sloan is there and looks at the closed curtain, and then he goes with his trunk like this, and then it goes. He makes a sound, you have to read it. Bob, Milast, not so loud, please. And then the Lord wakes up because it's very loud. It's super alarm. So every morning the sloan comes and makes his trumpet sound. Wonderful. But you really have to. But when we were there, the sound was not so loud, isn't it, Gaurahari? We could tolerate it without protecting our ears. He was maybe a little, I don't know, maybe he thought, let us first start with low sound, and then if the Lord doesn't get up, then I'm really going to give it to him. Maybe this is what the elephant thought that morning. So in that beautiful temple, which you all must visit in this lifetime, was one Brahmana who was chanting the Bhagavad Gita, but he could not pronounce the Sanskrit very nicely. Te sam zata ta yuktanamski. The people were laughing, like you are laughing, when he was trying to chant, but he could not chant. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and saw this scene, this poor Brahmana Bhagyama. And everyone was just laughing. Lord Chaitanya looked very closely and he saw that there were tears of ecstasy in the eyes of the Brahmana. He saw him shivering. So the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Brahmana, you are reciting the Bhagavad Gita, but you do not know Sanskrit. Yes, said the Brahmana, I am reciting the Bhagavad Gita. He thought in the beginning that Lord Chaitanya would like to mock him like everyone else did. Mock, you know, make jokes about him. But then he saw that Mahaprabhu was serious and he said, yes, I'm reading this Bhagavad Gita because my spiritual master gave me the instruction to read every day. I can't read, but I'm following his instruction. Ajisanya said, I'm interested. You are reading. I see everyone is laughing, but for you it is a very serious affair. You seem to be feeling some bhakti in your heart, because I can see your tears of ecstasy. It's a bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti is a high state in spiritual life where you become really moved, genuinely moved with Krishna's presence. I can see this. Oh, said the devotee, I'm a very low class devotee, but yes, I'm reading, and when I'm reading, I see this one seen before me. I see a chariot, and on the chariot I see Madhusudan explaining everything to Arjuna. I see this, and this gives me great ecstasy to see this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was impressed. He was a person who had followed the order of his spiritual master, who had read in the scriptures, and by simply this practice, my dear devotees, he could actually perceive Krishna. Ananta. He could perceive Krishna on the chariot, Madhusudan, talking to Arjuna, just by following that instruction of his spiritual master, and by reading the Gita. So I would like to request you something very, very strongly. Ananta, our temple president, will be wide awake to listen to this request, and he will check if it is done. I want to request you that you make an experiment, Gaurya Viharini. Rock. Mukundaji, this is the experiment. We will, in a minute, read an instruction of Prabhupada. And I request you to follow this instruction and see what will happen. I can guarantee you, if you follow this instruction, you will be like the Brahmana in Ranga Chetra, who will have a revelation. Okay, so should I read the instruction now? This gets now extremely serious. We heard a story and we thought, well, doesn't relate to me, let me sleep a little bit. The day is very, very intense today. I have to rest a little bit, and Bhagavatam class is so peaceful. Dobro atmosfera. Let me rest a little. But now it becomes very serious. You are now invited for a spiritual experiment. Malava Priya goes, oh my God. Male intensive, no. Okay, so sit properly. Hare Krishna. Very sorry. I thought I had written the instruction down, but it's not there. You don't need to make an experiment. Now, no need to see Krishna. No need to realize Krishna. The instruction is not there. You can be at peace. You can live your life like normal devotees, sometimes being frustrated, sometimes being disappointed, with innumerable desires in your heart, which can never be fulfilled. You can live in peace. No change. Every day as usual. Would you like that? I'm trying to motivate you, as you see. But I remember the instruction very well, because I was not lying. It's not here at the moment in my notes. I have to. Somehow I made a mistake here. My desire is, said Prabhupada, that all devotees regularly read about the pastimes of Lord Krishna from Krishna book, and they read the book Chaitanya Charitamrita about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If the devotees only eat ordinary grains, but do not regularly hear about Krishna, they will become spiritually weak, slabby. Weak? How do we say weak? Weak means sheep. Shipki. They will become shipki. Spiritually shipki. They will fall from the transcendental position. This is the instruction. Just try to follow this instruction, my dear devotees. Read every day. Even if it is night time and you had a very busy day, don't go to bed. If you can, at least one verse you can read. No problem. 30 seconds more. And if you do this every day, Krishna will reveal himself. Because, why? You are following the instruction of a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And just like the Brahmana in Rangachetra, who was maybe imperfect in following, he couldn't read so well Sanskrit. But because he did this with faith in Guru and Krishna, everything was fully revealed to him. Prakashante means full illumination in the heart. So this is my request to all of you. And I believe that that about 90% will not do what I have requested. But maybe 2% will do. 8% will be, should I do or should I not do? But maybe 2% do, and then you will become Krishna conscious. That is already very nice success in preaching. Hare Krishna. So what I tried to do is, I tried this morning to follow Srila Prabhupada's purport, who had said, why devotees come into this world? They come and wander around or travel in order to enlighten the conditioned souls, how they can become Krishna conscious. And today I have tried to follow, to serve Prabhupada, by telling you a little bit about how this works. We have no eyes to see God at the moment, but God can make himself seen through the personality of other devotees. And if we follow their instructions to our betterment, we will have a realization. Just like the Brahmana in Rangachetra, who was trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, and he got this wonderful Krishna darshan, you know, of seeing Krishna on the chariot talking to his friend, friend Arjuna. So Prabhupada has given us a similar instruction. I really hope, maybe Ananta, you are a man of computers. Maybe you can, are you experienced with Folio? Can you work it? There is this, if you look, become weak. I remember, they will become weak. And there is another word, fall from the, and transcendental platform is there. So if you type in these words, it will work. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita also that I know. Krishna. So then when we know the quotation, we can quote it better. Yeah. So now we have 9:20 and time is also there. As we can see, I will just ask if there are a few questions on this subject matter. Blush wants to know that there are two types of instructions about reading books from Srila Prabhupada. One is that reading his books is sufficient, and the other instructions which are there is reading the books of previous acharyas. So how to bring the two together and reconcile them. When you practice spiritual life, it's very important that you practice according to the sampradaya in which you are. Sampradaya means this specific school in which you are trained, or the parampara, the line of disciplic succession. That's the sampradaya, that's the school. We will go one step further. Everyone knows that it's also very important that you respect the arrangement which Krishna has made for you. That is, we all are have met Srila Prabhupada in one way or another, through his movement, the Krishna consciousness movement, and this is the arrangement for which Krishna made for us. We have therefore, whatever we understand is really necessary to understand within this arrangement. Also, whatever we understand from our parampara or previous acharyas should understand it through Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's presentation. Srila Prabhupada has put certain emphasis for this time and age. Emphasis is a difficult word. What means emphasis? Yeah, certain. He has said this is more important than this, for instance. For instance, the practice of chanting Hare Krishna is very, very important in the age of, in this time. Prabhupada has really pointed that out to us. Now, other acharyas will also talk about other subjects, other processes of devotional service. For instance, smaranam, the meditation about Lord Krishna. There are many instructions or many things. But when we read the acharyas, we are happy to get all this information, but we will practice according to what we have learned from Srila Prabhupada. So the reconciliation or bringing together of these, read only Prabhupada's books and read the books of previous acharyas, is here. We read the acharyas with the understanding which Srila Prabhupada has given to us. I would like to give you an example, because this is very important in the modern Gaudiya Vaishnav, spreading of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There are now other Gaudiya Vaishnav preachers who are exalted preachers. They are good sadhakas and advanced souls who come also to the West sometimes, or their books come to the West and so on. And sometimes devotees who are not satisfied, they say, let me listen, and from the listening comes, let me follow this preacher. But although the preacher may be good, it's important for devotees who have received the merciful arrangement of Krishna through Prabhupada's through meeting Srila Prabhupada, that they stay with Srila Prabhupada. And I would like to give you an example. When there is there are many mothers who have very good milk, breast milk, but if due to the arrangement of the Lord you are born to one mother as a baby, you cannot go and drink all the breast milk. It may be good breast milk, it may be good milk, but you will maybe develop gas in the stomach, you know, as a child, because your system is made that it is resonance. The resonance is with that particular mother who is your own Maika. This is the arrangement of God. So we should, the baby should take his food from there. Otherwise, oops, there is a problem, which for a baby is big problem. You know, for us it's just a terrible odor, a terrible smell. But for the baby, it could mean life or death. You know, when it, I know, Gadara's and Kala Kanta's baby had this problem. You know, and the baby was screaming from morning till night. Because of this problem, and we were thinking, oh my God, is it a demon who came here? Or you know, it was really so intense. Oh, Shanti, Shanti. Ooh, oh, Krishna. You know, no, it was just the problem of too much gas in the stomach. So this develops when we do not respect this arrangement which Krishna made. This was an answer where we also took some modern developments in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism into consideration. But you may not have had this in mind. Yes, we read. There is a very nice in the Vedanta Sutra. No, it's not Vedanta Sutra. It's in Jiva Goswami's instruction. He says, whenever we hear something, we should see if what we have heard is in harmony with the previous information which we have gotten from our spiritual connection to Krishna. So we will also take the information from previous acharyas, bring them before Srila Prabhupada's literature, and then take that which is in line, or which is exactly from the same perspective and profit, and the other things we respect as, yes, this is also true spiritual knowledge, but from me, my milk is a little different. My nourishment is a little different if we take this. Thank you. Now, Audarya Chandrika. Are fall downs connected to karma? There are different causes of fall down. Mostly we hear in spiritual life it's offenses which we do during the process of Krishna consciousness. We don't hear that our previous karma has a direct influence on our spiritual practice and the results of our spiritual practice. In other words, even someone who had a bad karma can practice spiritual life. This is otherwise, you know, if spiritual life would, or bhakti would be dependent on one's karma, then bhakti would be something material, which is influenced by material things. So bhakti is transcendental, and this point is very important. However, it must be said, after looking at the experience of Krishna consciousness in the West, that some devotees who have not yet Shraddha in their heart, firm faith in their heart, and who have a weak faith, they do, you know, for some it's easier to practice Krishna consciousness because of their body and their mind, and for others it's not so easy. I can see, for instance, I have a wonderful assistant and servant who has a natural appreciation of renunciation and detachment. So that is something which comes from a previous life, and that is very favorable for practicing bhakti. Where someone who is extremely sensual, I mean every one of us in Kali Yuga is sensual, but someone who is extremely sensual, you know, like wants to always eat from morning till evening, and wants to always, you know, has a body which is mode of passion times 100, you know, and therefore wants all types of sense gratification. It's a little bit more difficult for him. But anyone who practices bhakti with faith can overcome his karma, and even someone who is like me in a very disadvantaged body and mind, you can practice bhakti if you are have faith in it, and that if you do the follow the instructions, then you can practice. Yes. I don't have very good sanskaras in this life. Krishna. I'm only a mercy case. It's very clear to me. Krishna. Anyways, mercy is there. No problem. I hope my answer was satisfying to your ears. See, you have opened with your question a huge subject. And it requires certainly more thought than I can now give in a short answer. And my mind is already always looking at the clock, because we want to go to Venice. We go to Venice. Please all come to Venice. Bring warm clothes, but not too warm. We will dance a little bit. One thing I wanted to say about dancing: please dance graciously, dance nicely for the pleasure of the Lord. Dancing, chanting and dancing is such a wonderful spiritual practice if you do it consciously, and so on. That means willfully. Don't just dance, oh, everyone is dancing, I guess I also have to dance now. You know, dance. I want to dance for the pleasure of my Lord. I want to express my joy, and so on. And the very good way to dance, Prabhupada always said, is we should raise our arms. Oops. Then you raise your arms, and you swing back and forth, and you know, when you start like this, and just think about Krishna, don't think about your neighbor, what he will think, or what he will not think, you know. Just dance for Krishna. It's such a powerful exercise of spiritual life. It's very important, and you will see, some joy will come in your heart when you start, even if your fingers only... after some time, some joy will come in your heart, and then you will feel like dancing in very elegant ways. It's very, very necessary for us for spiritual advancement. It looks so, you know, in our Western condition, we're dancing hard. That's what the Mayavadis also thought. They said to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, why do you dance with sentimental people? This is not very serious, dancing. But no, it's important for Krishna conscious development. It's an expression of devotion to Krishna. Please freely dance. You will feel much nicer afterwards. Okay, so we will end here. I thank you very much for your wonderful hospitality. I felt so well taken care of, and it was just 2 days of uninterrupted transcendental bliss for me and Lubyana. I took prasadam like anything, and it's very nice, and thank you very much for keeping this nice temple alive. It's very, very wonderful. I've read the reports which were sent to me from the Ljubljana temple about your many, many programs, Pada Yatra, festival programs, congregational preaching, prasadam distribution, book distribution, everything. Devotee treatment. Pali Sadacha makes devotee treatment. Hospital, this is a Ljubljana, has a Ljubljana temple, is hospital for devotees. Yes. Bali is very good for this. I'm also, when I was very ill, Bali also cured me. He is very talented healer, devotee healer. So many programs are going on. Now the summer is coming soon, and I think in our office we are organizing already the summer, how to preach in the summer. Soon this terrible cold will go. It's already much too long. We need more sun here. And then we can make nice plans, and all of you can make plans. This summer I will preach like anything. I will serve like anything. I will really become a nice servant of the deities and help in whatever way I can help. You should please all make plans.